Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello, this is Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this week, Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich, who announced that he is running for governor in 2026. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me back, Morgan.
Always a pleasure to talk with you and pick your brain about what's going on. And this time around, it's about your new campaign for governor. And I think that a lot of people have come to know your name, certainly people in our audience, but there's always somebody out there who's a newcomer. And so if they're just starting to follow this and they don't know who you are, who is Senator Ryan Fazio?
Well, I was born and raised in Connecticut. Spent most of my career working in Fairfield County, in shipping and renewable energy. And then in 2020, I ran for the state Senate to represent my home district of Stamford, Greenwich, and New Canaan. And I've served three terms in the state Senate where I focused on fighting for lower electric bills, both exposing the public benefits charge and hopefully trying to eliminate the public benefits charge, protect the budget guardrails that have helped us reduce debt and wasteful spending in the state and cut taxes and reduce cost of living for families. But, you know, for the life of me, I've just believed that this state can do better than the leadership it's currently getting, with the third highest electric rates and taxes in the country. And this state's my home. And so I chose to run for governor for the next election because I think that the best days of our state could be ahead of us if we have positive change in our policies and our leadership in the state.
A lot of people have pointed out your age. You're 35, correct?
I am.
Are you thinking that you're going to offer a real alternative to people in Connecticut based on your age, your level of experience? It's been a shorter period of experience than someone like Governor Lamont, but it's still valuable experience nonetheless.
Consider me on my merits, on the issues, and on the vision I present. I believe that we can have a state that is affordable, that creates opportunity for all, that welcomes jobs and families and investment, and that ensures safety for everybody. I do think that regular people are hungry for a change in their leadership, not just in this state, but in this country. And I do think that I present something like that. You know, I found in my recent campaigns that with younger voters, with the younger generation of the electorate, that I've actually done quite well and better than even I had hoped or expected. I think people want something different, especially in Connecticut, where it's proven so difficult to build a life, to create jobs, to afford to live here. And I just simply believe that the state could do better with a positive change. So there could be something to exactly what you're saying.
Your experience in Connecticut has actually been beyond just your district of Greenwich, Stamford, New Canaan, although that's the heart of what you do and the people you represent. I noticed, particularly in the last year, and probably because you were interested in this run for governor, that you made numerous stops outside of your district, maybe on your way up to Hartford or back. What are you learning as you start going across the state more? You're meeting people and getting different experiences in different areas of the state beyond your home base. What are you finding out as you go to different places, meet different people?
Listen, I think one of the most exciting things for me as a new candidate for statewide office is the prospect of meeting different people, going to as many of the 169 towns and cities in our state, which are diverse, as I can possibly reach, and learning. I'm going to learn a lot. And I think learning and listening is key for a leader in order to be the best leader possible. That's been my experience in the state Senate, that the best way I can lead is not always to speak, but to listen and understand the people that I'm trying to represent well. But, you know, in my travels so far, you know, I found that there are differences in all 169 towns and cities, but by and large, most people want a lot of the same things. They want to be able to afford their electric bills, their property taxes. They want to have good jobs in this state and to see growth and opportunity for regular people. They want safety. They want their kids to have a good education. They don't want potholes every 100 yards on the highway and traffic that slows them down. People, we have a diverse state, but I think most people want similar things for their state and out of their state government. And I think a lot of them understand they're not getting it right now.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation today with Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich, who recently announced that he's running for governor in 2026. Now, it seems to me that there are more and more candidates emerging for numerous offices in next year's elections. It's not just limited to the run for governor. But just focusing on the run for governor, Westport First Select Woman Jen Tooker's announced that she's running on the Republican ticket. You've just announced we're expecting that New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart, who's not seeking election again in her city, that she's soon to announce she's reached $300,000+ of her fundraising goal in her exploratory campaign. She wants to reach $350,000 before making a final decision. So we can expect her. What do you think about the competition that you're going to face?
Well, listen, I know the first selectman, the mayor a little, not very well, and I have respect for them, and I respect that they're going for it. You know, I believe that by presenting a positive vision for change in this state, that our campaign will compete and succeed both in the convention and the primary and ultimately the general election. I'm not running against any of the other Republican candidates. I'm running for governor and for a positive change for the state. And I think my campaign will be successful on that basis. I very much do not see myself as running against other Republican candidates. I view myself as running for the governorship and for a change and improvement for everyone in Connecticut.
What about money and fundraising? Do you have any particular goals that you could share with us or talk about where some of your funding might be coming from? You know, Governor Lamont can just simply write a check, and no matter how much he wants to spend, if he were to run again, he can afford it. So what about you?
Yeah, I'm not personally wealthy, so I think the best alternative for us to compete is to participate in the citizens election program. So I need to raise $350,000 from people all across the state, donations $250 or less. We want to do it in as quickly as possible. I'm confident, based on my track record of fundraising, that we'll be able to do that. But, you know, we're asking for support all across the state and small and medium dollar donations to help us compete. Not exactly sure what the exact time frame, but it is the top priority at the start of a campaign, and we welcome all the support we can get. We're already, on the first day we had donations from all five congressional districts in the state, so every corner of the state, but that we need every single small and medium dollar donation we can get to compete.
I have an interesting question for you, and it's because you and Governor Lamont, if he were to run again, both of you are from Greenwich, Connecticut. Different sections of town. I'll note that you're from Riverside. He's from what I believe is referred to as Mid-Country, two different sections of town. But I think it's very interesting that, you know, we might have two campaigns running for governor in the same town. Is that some kind of barometer who might be more popular? You know, how are you going to compete in your own town?
Well, listen, as a Republican candidate, I think performing well in Lower Fairfield County is important now in a way that it wasn't years ago, when Republicans just simply did very well in places like Darien and Greenwich. We've actually seen those Lower Fairfield County suburbs, the kind of above average income suburbs like those, go from red on the state level to quite blue. So Governor Lamont won Greenwich, I think, by about 15% in his reelection campaign after basically being 50-50 in Greenwich in the first race in 2018. The Republicans need to claw back the votes they've lost in Lower Fairfield County. That won't be easy because it is a very expensive media market. But I think I have a positive reputation down in this part of the state where it is expensive to get on TV, where I've won a race in a district that Kamala Harris won by 17%. Last year, I won it by 4%. So I significantly outperformed, where Democrats usually go on the ballot. I think that that will accrue to my benefit as a candidate in a general election. But I'm going to go everywhere and represent everybody and listen to everybody. Again, focus on a middle class, working class message, reduce the electric bills, reduce the property taxes and income taxes, and create opportunity for everybody.
In the last decade in Connecticut's politics, a lot of our leadership from the top down has come from Fairfield County. There also has been a sentiment that other parts of Connecticut have been left behind. And I would note that you just recently held an event in Montville, which is nowhere near you, and is in eastern Connecticut. So how are you going to branch out to Litchfield County, Windham County, small towns, big towns, not just in Fairfield County or Greater Hartford, but all over?
I'm going to go everywhere, listen to everyone, and focus on the things that matter to everyone. You know, just last night when I was in Montville for an event with over 100 people, my question to people everywhere I go is, what matters to you and your neighbors? What do you think are the biggest issues facing you all in your lives in relation to the state? You know, the number one thing I heard last night was electric bills. And that's often what I hear. And when you have the third highest electric bills in the country, when people's electric bills for similar sized houses are twice of what they are in South Florida in the summer, you know, last time I checked, it's pretty hot in South Florida in the summer, and they got to run their ACs, and we're paying twice as much up here. Yeah, that's a problem. It's a problem for people being able to afford to live in Connecticut. It's a problem to be able to create middle class manufacturing jobs in eastern Connecticut, where we used to have a great advanced manufacturing base, and it's since been hollowed out because of these high costs. So, you know, my strategy is the same. It's always been running for state senate. You go everywhere. You go especially and talk to and listen to the people who you don't know as well, or you haven't spent as much time with, or you anticipate not doing as well with. I'll go everywhere and listen to everyone and try to bring everyone together. I'm only asking for people to judge me as an individual on the merits of my own campaign.
This is Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham, if you're just joining us, and Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio is my guest. His primary district is in Greenwich, but now he's going statewide with his 2026 run for governor, which was just recently announced. Senator Fazio, let's talk about some of the issues. Let's talk about cost of living and electric rates in particular. I know that that's a big focus that you've had in the last year or two of being in the state senate in Hartford, and will be a big focus for your campaign. What is your plan?
First things first, let's lower electric bills by 20%. I have a 6-point plan that I've introduced and updated over the last 2.5 years while I've been ranking member of the Energy Committee. It starts with eliminating the public benefits charge, which is roughly $900 to $1 billion statewide, over $600 for the average household in our state. We need to cut income taxes in a state where we have the third highest tax burden in the entire country. We can do so, I think, by about $1,500 for the average family. We can finance it by reducing some of the special interest deductions and credits and carve-outs in the tax code, which benefit industries that have more influence in Hartford. I think everyone should be treated fairly and equally in our economic policy. We should cap property taxes as well. Other states have done it with success. Connecticut has one of the highest property tax burdens, especially in the country, and that really hurts working class families and seniors most of all. I think that we could provide well over $2,000 of economic relief for the average family in this state just by reforming healthcare, energy, and tax policy. Imagine what that would do for, you know, a family trying to raise kids, on a $90,000 income what a couple thousand dollars extra of relief every year in their pockets could do. We can do that if we have the political will and the people in leadership who are willing.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecticut's last Republican governor left office in 2011. So let's say that you were to win, hypothetically, as governor and you were Republican. Connecticut still has a super Democratic majority in the House and Senate, so that would have to change in order for you to have a Republican majority across the board, which, again, has not been seen in this state in a very long time. So my question to you would be this. If you were the Republican governor, but you had a Democrat majority in either the House or Senate or both, how would your plans change, or how would you work with Democrats to accomplish aspects of your goals, of your campaign, when they're against eliminating the public benefits charge, for example?
Well, in two ways. First of all, I'm going to run my campaign focused on ensuring that we can bring up the whole Republican ticket. We need balance in this state. And the only way to achieve balance is to first elect a Republican governor and ensure that there isn't a Democratic supermajority in the state legislature. You know, for your listeners, there's about a 2-to-1 ratio of Democrats to Republicans in the state legislature. That's despite the fact that I think the popular vote for state legislature in this state, Democrats only won by like 7% a couple of years ago. So, you know, I don't think the state's electorate is a 2-to-1, you know, is a super, super progressive electorate. And yet that's the state government we're getting. So we need to run on balance. One of the other things, though, you know, the fact of the matter is this is a powerful constitutionally in Connecticut. We have a powerful governorship compared to other states. There's a line item veto in our constitution. Ned Lamont doesn't use it. He doesn't apply leverage and negotiate in a vigorous manner with the Democrats in the legislature because he agrees with them so much. I would be a vigorous negotiator and provide a check and balance, leverage the line item veto. You leverage the line item veto in negotiations with a legislature, even if it's Democrat, you're going to be able to get a lot done, especially when you take the message to the people. How about this question? Do you want your electric bills to be 20% lower or 20% higher? I think those fights are ones we can win.
Connecticut's Democrats have been making Washington and President Trump a big issue this year. I'm imagining it will be the same next year heading into the election. Where do you stand on issues related to Washington, whether it's federal cuts and if Connecticut can backfill on those cuts?
Listen, I think Connecticut and New England voters generally are willing to judge people as individuals and races on the relevant factors to the state. Washington isn't the reason we have the third highest electric bills and the third highest tax burden in the entire country. The fault's not in our stars, it's in ourselves. And so we need actual change of leadership and direction at the state government in order to improve things relative just to other states. Again, we shouldn't believe that this is the best we can do in Connecticut. And so I think Connecticut voters are perceptive. I think they understand that the decisions they make on a local level and on the state level aren't the same necessarily as the decisions they have to make on the federal level. And so we're going to run a campaign on the issues. I think the issues are the thing that are most on our side and to our advantage. And I think that's how we can win. Listen, I think, federal politics are important. State politics are important. Local politics are all important. So there always is going to be an interaction between them. But I believe that this general election is going to be won on the state issues because I think voters are hungry for a change in Connecticut.
I'd like to take you back to 2018 when Republican Bob Stefanowski challenged Governor Lamont. Stefanowski lost within 1%, so it was a really close election. 4 years later, they tried again, Lamont and Stefanowski on the ticket, and Stefanowski lost by a wider margin. So my question to you is this, any valuable lessons there?
learn from every campaign I can. I learn most of all from my campaigns. Even when we're successful, I try to think of the things we could have improved. I'm sure that's the case with Bob. I'm sure that's the case with Tom Foley. So we're going to look at the past and absolutely what was done well, what was done less well. I think, for instance, what was done very well on the first campaign, even though Bob was more of a new candidate, was that they were very focused on a couple of issues, one or two issues, and how to improve people's lives. I think the problem is that the promise didn't have as a substance of a plan behind it, and it would have had more credibility if that was the case. On the second campaign, I think it would have been very difficult in that election to beat the governor off of COVID. I think the COVID era popularity of incumbent governors was very difficult to dislodge. So I think there's things to learn from the second campaign as well. But there's sometimes so much inertia in politics. I think going into a third term, theoretically, if the governor does run for a third term, it will be much more difficult. Third termers have a much more difficult time than second termers in any position, mostly in executive positions. I think you get a little bit of fatigue. And I think we can go back to litigating the most important issues to Connecticut voters, which is the third highest energy cost state and the third highest tax state.
How do you look at the Democrat Party in Connecticut? I'm not talking about at the Washington national level, but here in this state where it seemed like this past year there was a lot of disagreement among Republicans. And every time I asked, say, Speaker Matt Ritter, you know, the answer was, oh, no, you know, we have differences, but we kind of all get along a little bit at the end of the day. But it doesn't appear to be that way. And there certainly was a lot of tension with Governor Lamont's vetoes that he did, like the one on the housing bill. And now you have progressive candidate Josh Elliott coming forward and challenging the governor if he were to run again for a third term. How are you looking at the Democrat Party and what does that mean for your campaign?
I think the Democratic Party has moved further and further to the left in Connecticut. They're pushing the envelope. They want more state control over local decisions for towns and cities. They want to make it more and more difficult for police to do their job. They want to protect people who are in the country illegally, who are convicted of felonies and misdemeanors. These are the laws on the books. These are things they've passed in the last few years, and yet there's still an underlying belief in among many Democrats in the legislature that we haven't gone far enough. So many of the Democrats ran for re-election in past years, including the governor, promising to protect the budget guardrails, which for your listeners were a bipartisan agreement in 2017 that limit spending and limit debt issuance in the state. Well, they broke their promise this year. They changed the volatility cap. They went around the spending cap. So they broke those fiscally responsible policies in the state, even though they promised in their reelection to change them. And then there are still Democrats in the legislature who are upset that we didn't go even further, spend more money, raise taxes by more. I think regular voters, unaffiliated voters in Connecticut, they want pragmatism and common sense and balance, and they're not getting balance from a Democratic supermajority and a Democratic governor who have, on issue after issue, moved Connecticut far to the left of where I think the regular voter and family is.
Senator Fazio, we are pretty much out of time for this edition of Face Connecticut. I'm sure we'll talk more again as your campaign evolves and grows. Any final thoughts?
Listen, I'm excited because I believe the best days for our state can be ahead of us if we have a positive change. So I'm asking people to, learn more about me, join our campaign, RyanFazio.com. You can connect with us. You can follow us. I'm very excited for what's to come. I can't wait to get started, and I think we can do a lot of good together.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.